1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9, which reads this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This letter by Peter is one of my favorites in the New Testament. I love that it's written by Peter, by the apostle who we know so much about because we read about him in the Gospels as one of Jesus' disciples and one of Jesus' apostles. This letter was written to Christians, mostly in Asia Minor, which today would be the area around Turkey. They were Christians in that area of the world at that time, were in the minority. They were marginalized. They were alienated from their families. Sometimes they had economic hardships that they had to face. This letter was written by Peter to these Christians to remind them of the incredible hope that they have as people who've chosen to be followers of Jesus, despite the hardships that come with that decision. And sometimes it's hard for us to relate totally to this letter because people are suffering for their choice to be a Christian. And for many of us, we don't really suffer for our choice to be a Christian, but it's an extraordinary letter of hope. And I think as I've been reading it this week, and especially reading these verses from 3 to 9, you know, with everything going on in the world right now and all of the struggles, it feels like we need to be reminded of this hope as well. And so for the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at Easter stories, but also looking at 1 Peter and focusing a lot on the words of this letter from 1 Peter. And so I want to go back. I'm just going to walk us through this passage, and starting at verse 3 again. Blessed, he starts, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed means just you're worthy of praise. It's a statement of praise and exaltation and honor and glory to God. Worthy of praise, God, our Father of Lord Jesus Christ. You are blessed. You are worthy of praise. We bring you our worship. And then he tells us why. Why do we do this? By his great mercy. Mercy being compassion. Compassion he had for the lostness, for the hopelessness of human beings, for us. When he looked at us who had been tainted, had been diseased by sin, were broken apart because of it. And he had this incredible compassion by his great mercy, by this extraordinary compassion that he has for us. He's given us a new birth. Now I want you to think for a minute about birth. Think about any babies that you know or have known. What is all wrapped up in that image of new birth, of a baby? They are connected, they're related to their families. They have parents who they get things from. They have an identity and a sense of belonging within the family structure within which they've been created. And so one of the things that I wanted us to do, to try to do, is take a short little bit of time to share with each other, to talk about our own families. We, as people who have been born into families with parents, we resemble our parents. We resemble our families. And so if it works properly, what I'm going to do is break you up into smaller groups. There'll be kind of 2 or 3. You're just going to have 5 minutes. So just don't take too long so that everybody gets a chance to share. And what I'd like you to share with each other is just how you are like your mom or your dad or both. What similarities do you have with your mom or dad? I imagine that you found as you shared with each other the things that are similarities between you and your parents. Some of you probably shared things that are genetic, things that you were born with, while others of you probably shared things that are more like habits, more learned things, because we are both. We pick up things from our parents as we live with them, as we grow with them, as we do life with them, just the same as there are things that are ingrained that we can't shake because they are part of our DNA. They are part of the genes that our parents have given us. The same is true when we are born into God's family, when we are given that new life from God into His family. He gives us things inside of us that are like our genes, like our DNA. It's the Spirit of God living in us that shapes us into God's own character. And so there's two parts to that. There's the part where that's essentially like the genetic part, where God Himself, His own Spirit, dwells in us. And so there are similarities to who God our Father, who Jesus our brother is, that is right deep in us. And then there are also the learned things. This is what discipleship is about. This is what our spiritual growth is meant to be. That it's not just, okay, you've been transformed by God when you were born again into His family because now you have the Spirit living in you, but you also transform, you continue to grow, you continue to become more and more like God's character because the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you and because you're intentionally growing and learning within that new family environment. God has given us, those of us who've chosen to accept the offer, He's given us a new birth into His family. We are His children with everything that comes with that, which means that we have been born into a couple specific things. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into a living hope. This is this living hope. It's our confidence in the power of God. It's not a dead hope. It's not a wishful thinking kind of a hope that's resting in things that aren't true or that we wish were true. It's a living hope, which means it rests in something that's true. It's a living hope, which means it rests in the power of God that was evidenced in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God who raised up Jesus from the dead will also raise up us from the dead, that God for whom death isn't a barrier. There's nothing is a barrier. So because of God's great compassion for us, He's given us this new birth into a living hope, into confidence in His own power over death itself and over everything else. This new birth is also into, continuing on with verse 4, is also into an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled, that is unfading, that is kept in heaven for you. Now, when you think about the people to whom Peter was writing, and you think about the fact that they were Jewish and Gentile Christians, and the main thing, when anybody heard the word inheritance, the main thing that they would have been thinking about was the land, that you inherited your family land. This is a big Jewish concept because the covenant between the Israelite people and God was the covenant of land, that they were given this extraordinary promised land by God that had over the centuries had been destroyed and they'd lost it, and there were numerous different empires that came in and stole it from them. But the people to whom Peter would have been writing, they would have thought of inheritance primarily in terms of land. But Peter is saying there's a different inheritance here. For those of us who've been given this new birth, for those of us who are now children of God Himself, there's a new inheritance. This is an inheritance that is best defined as belonging not to a land, but to a family, to God's family. That we have inherited all the rights and all the privileges that come with being part of God's family, of being, in another metaphor that's used, of being citizens, not of a country or of a state, all the rights and privileges that come with being a citizen of God's kingdom, with all the rights and privileges that go with that kind of citizenship. Now, for some of us, we're not really aware of the rights and privileges of citizenship because we've been a citizen. We were born into this country and we've been a citizen. But for those of you who made the choice choice to come to Canada, who didn't start out having all of the rights and privileges. I think, John, I think especially of you and your fight to become a citizen in Canada, and how freeing and wonderful that was when finally, after a couple decades of fighting this, you were able to become a citizen of Canada, and what that meant. And so what he's saying, Peter is speaking to people who, for many of them, they don't have any of the rights of citizenship in the places that they're living. Sometimes they lose it. Sometimes they're in a foreign land. They've been kicked out of the place that they were living. And so what Peter is saying in here is, he says, you've been given this new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance, a different kind of inheritance, an inheritance of family, of belonging, of God's kingdom, of life itself, an inheritance of salvation from death, freedom from sin and suffering. This is an inheritance, he goes on to say, that won't be destroyed. It can't be destroyed like the land of Israel was destroyed. It won't decay. Climate change has no effect on this inheritance that we're given by God in God's kingdom. It is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Why? Because it's held by God himself. This inheritance is kept in heaven for us who are, and then in verse 5, for us who are being protected, another word for protected, guarded, like we're in a fort or a fortress, who are being protected by the power of God through faith. Faith is defined here as exclusive commitment to God or trust in God's power to save. So this inheritance, this living hope, is for us who are being protected by the power of God, the same God who rose Jesus from the dead, through faith, through our commitment to God, through our trust in his power to save us. For what? For a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Salvation just means, I mean, it's a word we throw around all the time in Christianity, but it just means that you're rescued from something. You're saved from something. In this case, it's the rescue from death. It's the rescue from sin. It's the rescue from everything that's wrong in the world. It's the rescue from not belonging, from being marginalized, from being oppressed, from all the suffering that they would have known. So in this, in verse 6, in this new birth into a living hope, a hope that's based on the confidence and the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead, in this new birth into an inheritance that can't be destroyed or stolen, in this, verse 6 reads, you rejoice, even if for now, for a little while, you have to suffer various trials. In this, you rejoice in your inheritance, in your living hope. Why? So that the genuineness of your faith, your confidence in God's power, your commitment to God and to following Jesus, which is, and he has this kind of phrase in the middle of it, being more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire. This is the value of our faith. This is the value of our confidence in God. It's not a little thing. It's not a light thing. It's not a throwaway thing. It's as valuable, it's as precious, it's more precious than gold is. And just as gold is tested, or another word for tested is purified by fire. So you melt down the gold and all of the impurities you're able to separate out, so you just have the pure gold. So is our faith tested and purified by fire, by the various things that we suffer. See, let me recap. So in other words, recapping verse 6, in this new birth into a living hope, a hope that is based on confidence in the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead, in this new birth into an inheritance that can't be destroyed or stolen, we rejoice. Even if now, for a little while, we have to suffer trials, so that the genuineness of our more precious than gold faith, of our confidence in God's power and our determination to follow God, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you've not seen him, he writes to people who had not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This to me is one of the most extraordinary things This passage speaks to people who are suffering, speaks to people who are enduring all sorts of things, but have joy in the midst of it. Joy that is based on them knowing that this suffering is temporary. Joy on them knowing that God somehow redeems, God takes that suffering and he turns it into something beautiful. He turns it into like gold becomes this beautiful, beautiful, precious metal when all the impurities are pulled out. If we allow God to do that with our suffering, it pulls out the impurities in us. It refines us. It purifies us. It makes us something extraordinary. It makes us more and more and more resemble God who is our Father, Jesus who is our brother. That's the thing. And I think that this applies whether you're suffering because you're a Christian and it comes with those kind of things, or you're suffering just because this world is a place of suffering, because people that you love are dying or are sick, because you're anxious about the lack of jobs that you have, about wondering how you're going to pay your rent, because you're anxious about the state of our world with this COVID-19 thing. You're worried about the political situation, whatever all of these things are, however you are experiencing the goings on in the right now, we have confidence in God who raised up Jesus from the dead. God for whom death itself does not stand in the way. We can depend on him. We can rejoice in him, even if now, for this next little while, there is suffering. Our hope, our living hope, is in God, who has named us his children, who has given us all the rights and privileges associated with being citizens of his kingdom, where we belong, where we are not marginalized, where we are not oppressed, where there is no suffering or pain or dying. That's what we cling to. That's what we hope for. That is what Easter promises.